Welcome to the Hunting for Purpose podcast, the official podcast home for all human design manifestors. I'm your host, Holly Marie, a 4-6 splenic manifester, a certified human design teacher, and a manifester who is following her own creative urge to facilitate a thriving global community of aligned, powerful manifestors. Wherever you are at in your manifestor journey, or even if you are here just because you love a manifestor and you want to understand them a little bit more, this podcast is the place for you. Stick around for in-depth teaching, for real-life practical tips and understandings of the manifestor journey and how to become aligned and powerful and thriving as a manifestor. You are here for global impact. You are here to change the world. The time is now. The journey is yours. This podcast is your home. Hello, hello, everybody, beautiful listeners of the podcast. I had a completely different podcast episode idea planned for today. I have tried to be somewhat more planned and organized this year and have kind of mapped out some of our stuff in advance. In reality, I've actually mapped out a lot of our stuff in advance, a lot of our content, all of our launches. It's been quite some time since I've done that, and I'm just playing with a new way of doing things in the business. But of course, like the classic, typical little manifestor that I am, I felt like I didn't want to do what I had for today's podcast episode. I wanted to do something different. And so current me got annoyed at past me for telling me what to do, which is the weirdest little manifestor thing ever, that we can even get angry at ourselves for telling ourselves what to do. I hope that little insight makes you feel a little bit more normal about yourself. But something occurred in the business and in my own personal journey over the weekend that I felt was just really necessary to talk about for the manifestor journey, because I don't think that I have ever spoken about this before. This is something that has been part of my personal journey and my business owner journey for, over a decade. Like, I have been looking at this and healing it and rewiring it and changing my belief systems around it for a really, 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 really long time. And yet I realized I have never spoken about this publicly. I've never taught about this. And I think that it's so important to teach about it from the manifestor lens, because of course that's how I experience everything. I am a manifestor. I experience everything from the manifestor lens. So I want to talk to you today about how to handle criticism as a manifestor, especially criticism or feedback or projections that we get back when we have initiated something, because that is when we are at our most visible. It's when we're having our biggest impact, is when we are initiating and we're creating something and we're putting it out in the world and we're being loud and we're vocalizing and we're informing and we're drawing a lot of attention to ourselves. And I think that everybody who is in business, every manifestor who is in business that listens to this podcast is going to resonate and understand what I'm talking about. If you're not in business, I really would encourage you to see how else might this be showing up in your life in perhaps the same direct way, or perhaps in a slightly less direct way, a bit more indirect, because it's so normal for a manifestor to receive really, really interesting, confronting feedback and responses from people when we are initiating anything at all. In reality, it can even be like when we change our clothing style, when we change our hair. I once I really had this creative urge to play with like dark lipsticks, okay? So this is so ridiculous. This is such a manifestor thing. I had no reason for it. I don't even wear makeup. I have never, ever been somebody who wears makeup, but I was just like, no, I've got to do that. And I went through this whole range of kind of like deep purples and deep reds, and like just for weeks, you know, I played with these different dark lipstick colors. And I had this one experience when I was wearing, I think it was like a plum, this deep plum lipstick. And of course, because it's an initiating a creative urge, I was awkward about it. And, you know, I was unsure of myself and I felt very vulnerable and I felt very exposed. And I went into this cafe that I regularly went to. And the first thing that the owner said to me was, he was so angry. And he said, "Why are you wearing that?" And I said, "Well, I just wanted to. it's just lipstick. I just wanted to wear it." And he said, "No, you can't wear that. It looks ugly. It looks disgusting." And yes, literally word for word, that was what he said. And of course, it was so confronting. And we had quite a difficult discussion about it because I did eventually have to say to him, "You need to stop speaking to me in this way because what you're being is really rude and you're being really disrespectful and you're actually hurting my feelings." And then he was all surprised. Like super surprised that I would have any response like that. And looking back at that now through kind of the glasses of the manifestor experience, I understand. It's because I had kind of changed something very obvious and very visual and he was impacted by it and he didn't like the fact that he was impacted by it so much. He was uncomfortable with it because he thought I was predictable. And then I showed him, "I'm not predictable and you don't actually know who I am. And also you don't have the control over me that you thought that you did." And that is in such a simple relationship where there was like no intimacy, only familiarity, right? This person that I saw most days out of the week for a 5-minute exchange. So was not expecting to go down that memory lane, but hopefully that resonates with someone. The story that I did want to share with you today was a story of some customer criticism that we received over the weekend. I mean, at this point, when I'm recording this podcast, it's the middle of March. You guys are not going to receive the podcast until the end of the season, which is going to be late April. So by the time you've listened to this podcast, I mean, we're going to be like 6 weeks beyond this whole experience, which is good. That's how I want it because I never, ever want people in our community or in our customer base to ever feel like I'm jumping on and reacting to something that you've said or something that you've done. I hate kind of sowing any of those seeds where people want to find out who it is and point fingers and, you know, kind of rally the forces together. Manifestors are very protective of each other, especially in our community. So there is a reason that I'm recording this now as it's happened and I'm only releasing it later. So I'm not going to give you any identifying factors here, just so you know. But at the time that I'm recording this, we have just released our brand new product, which is the Manifestor Blueprints. These were a bit of a beast to create, much like Informed, our book, The Comprehensive Guide to Human Design Manifestors, which if you haven't read the book, my God, read the book, please. It's so beautiful. It's so helpful. We've just had the most incredible response to it. I'll put some details of the book in the show notes below. So you can go in and grab your copy. You can get it Kindle. You can get it ebook. You can get it print. You can even get PDF from our website if you're boycotting Amazon. So like all of the options are there. But my golly, what was I saying? Oh, right. So when we wrote Informed, I really felt like I was putting my initiating energy on the line to create something that was not a creative urge. It was one of the first times I'd done that in this business that I felt like I had enough of a support system and a structure around me to initiate something that was not born purely from my creative urge. Every single other product you have ever seen in this community has been a result of my creative urges. And I wanted to play with expanding my capacity into a different space because I knew that I'd been building that capacity to initiate only because I have such a beautiful support system in place with our staffing, with our community, even within my family, within my scheduling. I have a beautiful kind of friendship network around me, a lot of people who support me in a lot of different ways. And I found that that journey of writing the book required so much of my energy because, of course, my energy was not online like it normally would be with a creative urge. So, yes, I initiated it fast. We actually wrote that book in 3 months and had it out to be published, which was insane. But it required so much of me to give that. I really felt like I was giving this gift to the community. It was something that the community needed, and I was putting my initiating energy on the line to be able to create that for you. And once I'd done that, I was like, oh, like all things, right? Like, oh, now I've realized I can do that. I actually have this cool new capacity now within my energy that I can play with. I'm no longer, needing to restrict myself to just initiating from creative urges. Now I know that I can do this. I know that the amount it asks of me to do this, I know I can integrate that as part of our practice. So when it came to manifest a blueprints, that was not a creative urge. That was, once again, something that I felt like the community desperately, desperately needed in order to get access to learning about your chart in an affordable way, because we already have a whole readership platform set up. If you haven't seen it, jump onto our website and just go to the Book a Reading tab. We have a whole range of chart readers that are all manifestors, have all been trained by me, and they offer one-on-one readings with a whole bunch of different themes and ways that they do the readings. People from, you know, different genders, different languages, different cultural backgrounds, whole bunch of beautiful stuff. But of course, a one-on-one reading with someone is expensive. And I think that the lowest is like $150 that we've got, which is exceedingly low, actually. But generally speaking, you're going to pay several hundred dollars for a one-on-one reading with somebody who has qualified and certified and is very experienced in what they do. And I recognize that that just puts a lot of people out of the running. That, I mean, we really have been going through a very difficult financial experience globally over the last year, and that impacts things in a real way. Money is real. It is our currency of survival. We have created money as the thing that we cannot live without. And I never, ever want any manifestor or any person for that matter to be in a position where they need growth and they can't get it purely because of money. There's something so wrong about that to me. So I wanted to initiate a different level of product that would still give all of the manifestors access to this kind of learning about their chart, this blueprint, this guidebook to your individual chart without it coming with that price tag on it. I wanted to remove financial accessibility as an issue. So I created the Manifestor Blueprints. And in order to make that a product that we can sell at scale, aka that means that Holly is not the one that creates every single chart, right? Holly is the one that, why am I talking about myself in third person? I am the one who creates the entire product, creates an entire handbook and manual to go along with it. And then I create a process and a procedure through which other people can generate those charts for you. So I've trained other people to read charts, to interpret those aspects of the chart, and they go and they grab the information that I have written and they put it onto your chart for you and they send it off. Okay, so in creating something like the Manifestor Blueprints, it is an enormous back-end job. I mean, it is a beast. Like I said, it's a beast of a product. I think it was like 70 pages in that manual alone. It took me about 40 hours of high intensity work to create just the kind of building blocks of all of that. That's a lot. That's a lot to ask for your body when you are a manifestor who is not currently in a creative cycle. It's a lot to ask of yourself when it is not a creative urge. It's a lot of an initiating energy to hand over. So I already was kind of in a place where I was a bit just depleted, energetically speaking. But I knew that. I knew that going in. I knew that was probably going to be my experience because it wasn't from a creative urge. And I have put a whole bunch of structures in place to support me as I move through recovery after doing that. It does mean that I'll own this. I'm probably, because I'm tired, I'm a bit more sensitive to receiving feedback. But what that reminds me of is that when we are initiating a creative urge, we're so sensitive, we're so exposed. It feels like we're standing on top of a mountain naked and saying, hey, everybody, like, come and look at me. Look at this thing that I created. So we have had this really incredible response to the Manifestor Blueprints, exactly what I had hoped for, that it gave people access. It took money off the table to give people access to this self-learning. And I think at this point, we've sold like 300 in just over a week, which is nuts. I mean, amazing. My staff are so busy creating charts. And thank you so much, everybody who has purchased. We adore your support, and we hope that this is just such a beautiful gift for you. And we've had this flood of positive feedback, this flood of it, people who are feeling really nourished, feeling really seen, who are so grateful, who, you know, amazing. And of course, there was one person. I just happened to stumble across an email in our kind of support team inbox, which I don't normally look at. But I stumbled across this email from somebody who had received their chart, who emailed us to inform us, to inform me specifically. She named me specifically and wanted the information to be passed on to me, that she was just disappointed with it. She actually wrote multiple emails without us having responded to any of them. I think she wrote 3 or 4 in total, really just sharing and informing that she was disappointed, that she thought that it was a product that should have had more depth. I personally found it a little bit tricky to understand exactly what she was saying. She felt like she wanted more Holly in it. She wanted it to be more like the book, but this is a completely different product. And of course, when you're doing like a PDF chart read at a low cost, you can't apply individualization to things to a certain degree, because that's something that you get in a one-on-one chart reading when somebody is there to listen to you, to answer your questions, to ask you questions, right? And we can't do that in a product like this. But overall, the message was she didn't want any compensation. She just wanted me to know that she was really disappointed with me. And that landed like a blow, of course. I was certainly activated in that moment of receiving it. I wouldn't say that I was necessarily fully triggered. As somebody who experiences a lot of trauma and a lot of trauma patterns, I don't feel that I was in a trauma trigger, but I certainly was activated. I immediately felt annoyed and then angry and then defensive. And then I felt really sad. And then I felt really disappointed myself. To me, it was sort of stepping into this space of like, oh, there's always one. Why is there always one who has to say that I'm inadequate? And shout out to anybody else who journeys through inadequacy, because that's my core wound in human design. You have a core wound listed on your chart. Mine is in gate 48, and the shadow on that is, you guessed it, inadequacy. So feeling inadequate and experiencing these stories of, oh, someone's telling me I'm inadequate, or my work is inadequate, and I'm just never good enough, and of course I'm not good enough again, that's not new to me. So as soon as that came up, I thought, okay, I know what we're dealing with. Now, I think on the first part of this, what I want to say about it is that to me, this is projection, right? I always think that in any human interaction, there are two sides of the fence. And this experience is no different. Whenever you're doing customer service, it's a relationship, it's a communication. So of course there are two sides of the fence. And I believe that her side of the fence in this scenario is that she was informed about what it was that she was receiving. We work incredibly hard to inform very, very clearly and communicate specifically and openly so that people have integrity in their own decision-making process. And she felt uncomfortable about what it was that she received. There's a beautiful opportunity just within that. If you have invested in something, number one, did you follow your inner authority when you invested in it? Maybe yes, maybe no. If you did follow your inner authority and you did know this was correct for you, and you've received something that you did think fell short, or you did think was disappointing or not good enough for you, which happens as consumers, we've all experienced that, then those are feelings that come up for you. That is what the whole point of this was, right? Maybe your inner authority was not guiding you to the experience so that you could get something cool that you wanted to buy. Maybe your inner authority was guiding you to the experience so that you would have an opportunity to feel those feelings because they're connected to other stories for you. Thus, that is your journey through this. That is your responsibility to move through, what do I feel? Why did it come up? And why is it mine? This is mine. There's always an opportunity. Life is happening to you. No, life. Oh my God. Life is happening for you, not to you. So even when you've invested in something and you've purchased something and you think it didn't meet your expectations, that's happening for you. That's not a content creator that has done something to you. That is happening for you. What is it bringing up for you that you now have an availability to investigate? And I do honestly hope that this beautiful person who informed us and shared her feelings with us, that she takes this opportunity and that she feels supported and loved and held in taking that opportunity to investigate, why does disappointment come up for me? What does that mean for me? What is available for me to do with that? The communication of it to another person is difficult, because as soon as you start communicating your feelings about something that someone has done, you really have to be owning your side of the street. And when you are pointing out somebody else and saying, you made me feel this way, we really start to lose our sovereignty and we start to lose our integrity. But hey, like, this is the human journey. We're all doing this and we're all struggling with this and none of us are perfect. And I think that we can have a lot of forgiveness and a lot of space and a whole boatload of grace to give to people as we all journey through this together while remaining sovereign ourselves. So if any of you have ever informed, quote unquote, informed and shared feedback with us as a community here, you will know that our tagline is, thank you for informing. That's it. We don't involve ourselves further in that conversation. And there are reasons for that, which I'll get into later in the podcast. What's most important for me here, though, is that I have my side of the fence to own. And I had all of those emotions and those stories that came up for me, because I was a manifestor who had initiated and I was in a vulnerable space and I was energetically very exposed. And I received an energy coming back into my field that disrupted me, right? I did not want to receive that energy, but it's for me. It's an opportunity for me. So my responsibility has been to investigate why. What is that feeling? What is it connected to? Why am I feeling that? And how is this a really good thing for me? And I think that a lot of the times when we are activated by the way that somebody has responded to our initiation, it's offering us an opportunity to review what version of ourself that is connected to. And I say that as a manifestor, because every time we move through a creative urge, every time we move through our energetic cycles, right, that we go from a creative cycle into a rest cycle, a creative cycle into a rest cycle, every time we move into those creative cycles, our version of ourselves is changing. I think that manifestors are the most amazing transformational, transmutational creatures on the planet, because we're never static. We are never, ever static. And every time we create, because it's a whole body, whole identity experience for us to initiate, then who we are changes. And so we are these beings that have had hundreds of thousands of different versions of ourselves. And we might move through multiple versions of ourselves in 1 year, whereas it takes other people several years to move through versions of themselves and to change. And that's the beauty of the manifestor experience. It's also the burden of the manifestor experience. But what this activated for me, receiving this feedback, was that I felt all of those things. And I immediately, because I've moved through this before so many times in business, what I immediately stepped into was, okay, what old version of myself might this be speaking to? Because this is, I didn't invite this energy in. I didn't call this in. I didn't initiate this energy in. It's coming to me into my field. So it feels like this is a space I don't want to play in. What old version is it speaking to? And straight away, I could connect that back to a story. I could connect that back to a point in time, a version of myself that I used to be in my previous business. And for those of you who don't know, I used to own a cafe and events business, you know, a traditional like brick and mortar, go to work 7 days a week, serve customers business. And it was financially a very, very successful business, but it energetically was a horrifically traumatic experience. And a lot of my personal journey through that was that as the owner of that business, who was kind of dragging this bankrupted business up out of the gutter and back into profit and back into success, which was, that was my whole story through that, was that I felt really disappointed with what I had created. I felt like I was initiating and I was creating, and this is well before I knew about human design. But I was very consciously aware that I was creating, I was birthing, I was bringing something into life that had been dead. I was kind of like bringing it back from the grave in a new version. I was so disappointed with what I had created. And the reason was that even though a lot of people loved it, and yes, it was financially successful and a lot of people thought it was amazing and we got those kind of quote unquote successful outcomes from things, it to me was superficial. It was valueless. It was meaningless. I would often say to people, we're just serving food and drink, right? This is a specialty cafe. So I would say to people like, it's just tea and cake. That's it. There's nothing too serious about it. There's nothing so important about it. I mean, realistically, you know, we ran events, we had retail, we created products, we were a kind of a brand. I did a lot of media appearance stuff. It was a big business, but I felt like there was no real positive impact on the world. I knew, and this is so representative again of that gate 48 for me, right? That shadow of inadequacy. The gift on that gate is depth. I want to live at depth. I want to go below the surface level. I don't want to put all of my creative energy into food and into drinks that people consume and then forget about, right? I want to have an impact on the world. I want to have some meaning. I want to bring transformation. I want to bring healing. In contrast, the work that I create and that I initiate now is deeply fulfilling. I don't have any sense of being disappointed ever in the work that I do here. I feel like it's all at depth. It's all beautiful. I have not once in this business ever felt like I'm disappointed with what I have created. So when I received that language back from someone else, of course that was speaking to that old version of me, that old version of myself as a manifester that was initiating and was creating and was disappointed with what I was doing. I was disappointed with myself. I was disappointed with what I was putting out into the world. And what this activation helped me to realize was I've never forgiven that version. I've stayed in criticism of it. Right? Like, oh, I should have known better. I should have done better. I shouldn't have been in that place. I should have, you know, made something of more meaning and of more value. I haven't forgiven that version. That version of me was 7 years ago now, 8 years. She didn't know better. She was doing exactly what she knew with what she had. I can't apply what I now know to a past version of myself and hold myself to that standard. This is a lesson that we're all learning, I think, and we're all coming into self-compassion and self-love around this. But that language, that use of the word disappointed, it transported me back to being that individual, to being that manifestor that was initiating and I was creating disappointing things. And the beauty of this activation, the beauty of receiving this from this person,
is that I was able to see that. I got clarity. I got awareness that this thing was still bouncing around in my energy, still bouncing around in my psyche. I got to spend time with that old version of myself and say, oh my gosh, I actually do forgive you and I do love you and I do hold you, you know, with compassion and with pride because you did the best. You absolutely did the best and you felt a calling to create more. And you know what? You risked it. You actually put down this business that was meant to be your crowning achievement. You put it down. You let it go. You moved into deeper spiritual awakening. You did come out. You did create something of meaning. You continue to create something of meaning. I have had an evolution of identities, an evolution of versions of me, and I have backed myself the whole way. So I no longer want to be in criticism of that past version. I want to be in celebration of that past version. And I wouldn't have had access to an awareness of that had I not had somebody come into my space and say, oh, I'm really disappointed with what you created, manifestor. You should have done better. There's the beauty in receiving criticism as a manifestor, that nothing is asynchronous, right? Nothing is without meaning. Things come into our space because they are there to show us something within ourselves that we can then hold ourselves with love. I am able to hold myself with more love now. I am also able to hold this other person with love. And here's one thing I want everybody to know about this. Holding somebody else with love does not mean that you betray your own sovereignty as a manifestor. So I chose not to respond to this person. I chose to let my team handle it and use the tagline that says, thank you for informing. Boom, boom. Done. Thank you, ma'am. Right? I chose not to engage with that because I had received what I needed to out of it. I had met my side of the street. And I'm very, very aware that entering into a back and forth engagement with criticism as a manifestor, when I'm at my most exposed and most vulnerable, is detrimental to me. And this is a protective practice that I have put into place for myself over all of these years in business. I slipped up. I did not follow my own protective practice in reading this email, but it reminded me that it's there for a reason. When a manifestor is initiating, as I've said a million times now, we are in our most vulnerable energetic space. Our sovereignty as initiators, calls us to be responsible for that vulnerability. It is so vital for us to have protective measures in place to protect ourselves and our energy when we are at our most vulnerable. This is just like when a child is first born. You don't leave them outside to fend for themselves. You don't put a newborn baby on the floor of the kitchen and say, okay, feed yourself. You don't allow them to be exposed to harmful environments that are going to be beyond their capacity to handle. The same goes for us when we are initiating an urge, or in my case, when we're initiating something consciously that is not from an urge. We're at our most energetically vulnerable. And one of the tools that I have used to protect myself in that space, knowing that I have kind of a very soft belly area when I'm in that place, is to not engage myself in customer service. I can't stop people from providing feedback. I can't stop people from projecting their feelings into my space. I can't stop other manifestors from, quote unquote, informing. It's not actually informing, it's pseudo informing, but they think they're informing. I can't stop any of that from happening, but that doesn't mean that I need to expose myself to it. It doesn't mean that I have to kind of crucify myself on that manifestor cross to say, oh, I'm so exposed right now, I'm so sensitive, come at me, everybody, and I'll just handle it like a pro. No. I love myself and I keep my sovereignty by protecting myself from that. I don't put myself in places, generally speaking, I don't put myself in places when we're launching a product where I'm seeing that feedback. My team knows to pass on some of the positive feedback to me so that I'm seeing my impact. And they do that. They're so protective. They're so amazing. They kind of cherry pick these great responses and they let me know and they encourage me so that I know, oh, I did do something really good. But they don't pass on negative feedback to me because I don't want to hear it. And if I trust the people that I have around me, that if we're receiving communication from people that's saying, oh my gosh, you told me that you were going to cover this, but it's not actually in my report, or like you ran the data wrong, or I can't get access to the thing that I purchased, right? That of course I have people in place who say, yes, yes, yes. It's in our professional integrity to ensure that you're getting what you paid for. But if what people are just sharing is uncomfortable emotions that they have from how they've been impacted by my work, I don't need to be in that space. Because the reality is that we're always going to get responses to our manifestor impact. It's how the energetic field works. We initiate, it impacts people, they are engaged to respond. Even other manifestors are engaged to respond. That's the way the energetic frequency works, right? The domino effect. I hit the first domino, or another manifestor hits the first domino, and that knocks all of the other dominoes in the line down. And so we see this energetic response. And oftentimes that's going to be people vocalizing stuff back to you, whether it's customers, whether it's friends, whether it's family members, whether it's bosses, colleagues, any of these things. You're going to see a response back when you impact someone. And unfortunately, sometimes our impact, or maybe it's fortunately, you know, but our impact can make people uncomfortable because that's exactly what they need to feel in order to investigate what comes up for them. But sovereignty and emotional regulation are things that we are learning as a collective, and not everybody is completely dedicated to learning it. And sometimes people are dedicated to learning it and they just have a moment, right? As a manifestor, we are always, 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 because we're initiators, we are always going to be in a position where the impact that we have is a potluck. Is it making people inspired or is it making people uncomfortable? I don't know. The way that people will respond when they're not able to emotionally regulate and they don't have the capacity to experience what you have offered them through your impact is that they want you to feel it alongside of them in the unconscious hope that it will go away. That if they say, in this case, if someone says to me that they are disappointed with me, it's because they were disappointed and that was an uncomfortable feeling for them to sit with. And so they wanted me to be uncomfortable with them in the hope that that would make them feel better. And of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. So when people are angry at you, or when people are surprised by you, or people are disappointed, or people are sad, or people are critical, whatever it is, that's because your impact has brought that up in themselves. It's connected to a story for them. It's connected to something that they can investigate for themselves. And there's a beautiful healing available in doing that. But if they don't have the capacity or the desire to sit with that feeling, they're going to project it back to you as the manifestor and say, you made me feel that way, so I want you to feel it with me so that I feel better. But oh my gosh, why don't I feel better? Oh, it's still your problem. This is part of what it is to be a manifestor who initiates in the world. And I feel like what's the kind of really important community message out of this is not only to look after our own side of the street. It's not only to receive criticism and handle criticism as the opportunity for growth and the opportunity for release and also the opportunity to strengthen our sovereignty that it is, as well as being a place where we can find love and grace for other people. It's also, I think, to reinforce this message for us that as manifestors, we have enough experience of people tearing down our initiations. We have enough experiences of people projecting, of people criticizing, and of people saying that we're not enough when we have initiated. Got plenty of wounds in that space. That's a heavy dose of conditioning. And sadly, that's something that we as manifestors have internalized. Just like internalized patriarchy, right? Internalized racism. we've internalized that conditioning. And this is something that I find so challenging in being a facilitator in this community space, because I have such a visual overview of so many manifestors, is that manifestors attack other manifestors when they're initiating. And they do it under the guise of informing, but actually it really is just criticizing. And that's because we have all internalized this conditioning. And that's so sad. That's so sad that we're all so wounded in this place. And we need to continue healing in this so that when we are around other manifestors who are initiating, we can receive their impact and process it for ourselves. And to honor and understand that if another manifestor is initiating, that they are in their most vulnerable place. And that if we are going to use words, let those be encouragement words. Let those be words of support and upholding and cheerleading, because that is what we need in order to heal this. Let's be a community that does that for each other. And I will say, I do see that too. I see that in our Facebook group all the time. It's so gorgeous. My gosh, when a manifestor jumps in and says, oh my gosh, I just followed my creative urge and I initiated something, or I honored my rest cycle, or I did it. And there are dozens and dozens of comments from other manifestors cheering them on, encouraging them, you know, applauding them, celebrating them. That's what we need to do as manifestors. And it requires us to be really self-aware. It requires us to be comfortable within ourselves with being initiators. There's a beauty to what criticism from other people when we initiate can bring us into awareness of. And there is also an invitation for us to honor each other more deeply in that process by not continuing to do that to each other, knowing that we're going to be experiencing that in the world from other energy types. Oh, that was a lot to share. I feel like that was so good though. Hopefully you guys feel like that was really good. A lot of the stuff that I've shared throughout the podcast today, talking about conditioning, about initiating creative urges, if those are concepts that you don't know much about, you want to dive further into, we do cover them in the Informed book. We cover them in a lot of spaces actually, but in our free content, in our downloads, in our paid courses. But I think that the book is the most kind of homogenized place, and it's a really brilliant place to start because it's everything all together in one comprehensive compilation. So if you haven't read Informed yet, like I said before, the link is in the show notes. Go and grab yourself a copy of it. It's a really beautiful self-love gift to move your manifestor journey forward. I am going to go and take a break now, because now I've worked for nearly an hour. That is enough for me, guys, because I am very firmly in a rest cycle. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. This is our final episode of the season. So I don't know if you've listened to any of the previous episodes this year, but we talked about moving into a seasonal model for our podcast. This is episode 13 of this season. We are going to be taking a break for the whole of May, and we are going to be back with our first episode of the next season on the 5th of June. So if you are dying for podcast content in that time, I think we have approximately 170 something episodes in our backlog. Go back, have a listen, see what jumps out at you, enjoy the listening experience, and we will see you with some really fresh, beautiful new podcast content in June. And as always, my gosh, thank you for being here, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep hunting for purpose. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today in another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. We so enjoy having you here, and whether you are listening to my insights or the wisdom of one of our other incredibly talented manifestor specialists, we really truly hope that you have taken away power, transformation, and wisdom about your own manifestor magnificence. Before you go and switch off, we would be so humbly grateful if you could take the time to either leave a podcast review right on the platform that you're listening to,
Or if you feel like it, please do a share across your social media. We love to hear how each of the episodes is impacting you, and we love to provide an opportunity for you to inform us via social media. So please share a story or a post about this episode and tag us at The Manifestor Community. Until next time, please, manifestors, keep hunting for purpose.